Test 1-2, test 1-2, test Hassel. Ready?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
All right. Sitting with James Krause in 3, 2, 1. James, what's up? It's been a while since we've talked.
Yeah, I mean, it's been years probably.
It's been a while.
I'm glad we can meet back up at the zoo here.
Yeah, so are you here scouting talent, or what are you doing?
I don't think my day is quite as busy as a lot of these guys, but I have a few things today, a couple things tomorrow, and then obviously I'm competing on Sunday in the Fight Pass Invitational.
The grappling tournament, see?
Yes, so I'd never been to one of these things before because I'm a British person. We don't grapple. And obviously we don't have that ability, obviously. So the very first time he took me was I think just before COVID hit, right?
Yeah.
And we went to Red Rock, and I was just amazed by that whole concept. I thought it was brilliant.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's good. It's good. I think it's good for people, for fighters, to compete without getting your brains beat in. You know, I think it's a nice compliment. And for me, I'll say this. We always talk about like styles make fights, right? For me, I'm always intrigued by when you take an MMA fighter and you isolate one discipline of the sport and you put them against other MMA fighters. For me, I don't really have a huge interest in grappling grapplers. Like, I want to grapple other MMA fighters because that's what I train still to this day. I train every day, but I train in MMA every day, you know?
Yeah.
And I think even on the other side of that, I know Zuffa talked about doing boxing at one point. It seemed to have died down, but that intrigues me too.
Like, yeah.
I want to see the MMA guys box each other. I want to see them grapple each other.
Yeah.
That stuff intrigues me. Maybe I'm weird, but it's fun.
No, it's definitely intriguing, and especially in this, you know, years gone by, this sport used to be isolated to one person, one skill. Now that the sport has literally just exploded, and now you have to literally be an absolute diamond in every, you know, in every department. So it is quite a thing to kind of see. But we wanted to kind of just move away from that. What are you doing for the 4th? Anything special?
I'll probably just take my kids to a thing. The 4th of July is not a, that's not a huge deal to me.
Or him either.
Yeah, it's not a big deal for me.
So being a British person, I go to a party. I live obviously in Vegas. But you go to a party and people congratulate me and say, hey, happy 4th. And the irony of the whole thing is totally bizarre to me because it's literally celebrating you guys kicking our backsides and throwing us out.
I never would have thought of that. But yeah,
it's the weirdest
true.
Thing. It's the weirdest thing. But anyway, you know.
Talk about just for a second the difference between fighting and now training. You know, you're now cornering people and everybody always tells me I'd much rather fight than corner because I can't do anything once the fight starts.
Yeah, you're going to make me dive down the rabbit hole, but I feel like with a lot of the fighters, like this is the one thing that these guys need to understand. I've been in the sport for 15 years now. I'm pushing probably 70, 80 fights, pro and amateur. And what these guys and girls need to understand is this will come to an end at some point. Right? And I feel like the majority of fighters have some type of drug addiction here. I'm going to call it a drug addiction. And what I mean by that is like there's like a dopamine addiction, right? Because a lot of these fighters have some type of emotional void in their life. Because if not, why would you fight for a living in the first place? You know, I would say 90, 95% of fighters come from broken homes, low-income families, troubled youth, you know, all that stuff. So you fast forward. And I feel like a lot of these fighters identify themselves with the result of their last fight. So if they won, they're a winner. If they lose, they're a loser, right? And it can be heartbreaking to watch because what the problem with that is when you win, if you get this feeling. It's a feeling unlike anything you can explain. Yeah. Unless you've been there, you just can't explain it. You know what I mean? It's the highest high and the lowest lows. That's such a cliche thing to say. But it is so true. It's not even funny. So these guys, they get that high. They want that hit again. It wears off. It wears off quick. The longer you do it, the faster it wears off. And, you know, a week goes by, even a month. Let's say 6 months. 6 months go by, and the high is gone. And they want that feeling again. You know, they want that drug addiction again. But if they lose, it's the lowest of the low. Then they identify themselves as a loser, and then you go down the it's like a perpetuating cycle of nonsense there. I don't know the whole point I was trying to make with that, but I think you asked me if I like coaching or just the difference or fighting. So for me, it's a great transition for me to still get that drip, you know, to still get that dopamine. I'm still in the sport. I can still make the walk, you know, and it has to come to an end. I'm 36 years old. I don't know. You know, I'm still on the roster. I'm still in the USADA pool. But if you're saying, hey, James, are you actively looking for a fight? The answer is no. Are you saying have?
But if you get a call, you could be ready tomorrow. I know you could.
Listen, I train every day still. I train every day still. If they offer me the right amount of money for the right opponent, I'll do it.
Right.
If it makes – I'm about business. If it makes business sense to me to get back in there and fight again, I will for sure do it.
It's sort of very refreshing to hear a fighter that is – that smart, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. What I mean is the fact that you go, this is a business to me. But the thing is, it's that thing of you have to build.
Yeah.
For what's next, whether it is a coaching, or I'm going to open a gym, or I'm going to do some business, I'm going to have real estate, I'm going to put, you've bled for this money and this status. You might as well use it.
You have to. Listen, this is professional sports. This is professional athletes in general. Like. I think going into statistics, it's like 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And then you start looking at the statistics of it's like 78% of professional athletes are broke within 2 years of them. Yeah. Or I think it's NFL players are broke within 2 years.
As you're saying that, just to jump in, happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
I don't know.
You don't know what that is?
No.
So Bobby Bonilla was.
Is he the contract guy that got like the crazy contract?
$1.1 million a year for till 2035.
Oh my God.
And everybody,
I know this now.
Right. And everybody then is like, you're an idiot. Why would you not take the money up front? And now it's.
Yeah. Who's laughing now?
Happy Bobby Bonilla Day.
Is it Carson Palmer? I think it's Carson Palmer. He's a quarterback. Doesn't even start.
Right.
And he's making like. I want to say he's making like $11 million a year, and I think in the last 13 seasons he started 5 games.
So funny enough, now I don't know if you're a soccer fan or a football fan, but I have to say soccer over here. But Gareth Bale, who's a very, very famous British player, he has just signed. He's just left Real Madrid and he's gone to a club in California. But his contract at Real Madrid for the last 3 years was €500,000 a week.
What?
And he never kicked a ball for 3 years because he fell out with the management. But because he's under contract, they said, we want to sell you because you're... And he went, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to play golf and I'm going to go back home and I'm going to play for Wales internationally and I'm going to do this. They're the deals we need.
Those are the deals.
I would do it for half.
We're in the wrong spot.
I would absolutely do it for half.
We got to get those deals. Quarter of it.
For a quarter.
Yeah.
But for me, it's easier to coach. I still am a part of it. I'm still very into it. And it's fun for me. I enjoy it. It's a great way for me to stay in the sport, be a part of it. Still, you know, I get to do stuff like this, hang out with you guys. And it's a great fit for me. You know, maybe not for everybody, but for me it is.
I used to always ask the guys back in the day, because I go way, 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 way back, what will it take? What if? You know, as you remember, you know, back in the day, nobody cared about this sport.
No.
Nobody cared if somebody walked by, he's an MMA fighter, who cares? I mean, we're not there yet. I think we're getting there. We're very close. I mean, but talk about, you know, how far the sport has come.
Oh, I mean, it's a mainstream sport. I mean, would it be crazy to say that it's the second largest sport in the world? I mean, behind soccer. I mean, football, soccer, whichever.
Yeah.
I mean, what's worldwide a bigger sport? I could be wrong. I mean, it's not going to be American football because that's only in America.
Right, it's only America.
I mean, I think you might be right.
Cricket, rugby, something like that.
Something like cricket and rugby, just based on the fact that they're played in, especially in cricket India. Played in India and places. But I think you're right, and I also think that it's only when you leave America or North America and you go and see the outreach of the UFC, let's say in Britain. So you go and Tom Aspinall will headline it's a fight night. It's not even a pay-per-view. It's a fight night.
They're selling out 60,000. I mean,
sell it out
in a minute.
Yeah,
in a minute. And even like if you look at other organizations are doing it too with lesser known fighters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're selling out 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 arenas. Yeah.
And everybody is now. I mean, Dana and the team must be clucking for the first Indian fighter. They love Zhang Weili. The idea of that opens this business up and this sport up to, I mean, Australia. We were talking to Jess the other day about the birth of MMA in Australia and New Zealand now. Look at all these superstars that are around.
Oh, it's crazy.
This is a country 10 years ago that would have laughed at you for doing this because that's rugby and cricket.
Yep.
That's what they do in Australia. They don't do anything else. But now they have all of these elite fighters.
Yep.
And it's amazing. And so I think you're probably right. I think it's the second largest sport in the world.
I would venture to say, I'll even go a step farther. It's one of the most difficult sports to promote because you're not promoting a team. You're promoting an individual.
Yeah.
And that's very difficult to do. Possible for sure, but it's much easier to promote a team. It's much easier to get behind a group of people than it is one person.
True. And I think also as well, I'm a big boxing guy. That was my history. However, boxing, every single day I lose love for the sport that I love because of the way that it's managed.
Yeah.
You have so many governing bodies. You have so many different networks that say, well, he's not going to fight him.
The big fights don't happen.
You ain't got a choice. If you're at number seven, you're fighting number six, and that's the end of the story.
Yep.
And if you want your contract, that's what it is. And that's why I think people love it, because there's no nonsense.
Yeah,
there's no nonsense.
No, I get it. I mean, in boxing, the big fights just aren't happening. Nope. You know, like, we can't see Crawford Spence, you know what I mean? Yep. Like, that's one we want to see. That looks like that might happen, but that'll be one of the very few that we get to see, you know? There's just too many fights that don't happen because imagine if you put a scenario up where there's 25 UFCs and then within the 25 UFCs there's six different weight classes, six extra weight classes on top of, and it's probably more than that, but it's just like they create different ways to not fight each other.
Yeah.
And then don't get me into the politics behind boxing because I'm sure it happens in MMA. It would be naive for somebody to think that there's not some type of persuasion and politics behind it. In any sport, in anything.
In anything.
Yeah. But in boxing, it's almost like they quit giving a shit if you know or not.
He said stuff. He said stuff, just so you know.
I said stuff. Yeah, whatever. It's almost like they stop caring if you know or not. It's like, we're going to give this guy this decision. Whenever I watched Canelo versus Triple G one.
Yeah.
The first,
yeah.
I gave every single round in question that I thought was in question. I gave every single round to Canelo because I knew there would be some bias judging.
There. Yeah.
I think I still scored, if I remember correctly, I scored it seven rounds to five.
Right.
For Triple G.
Yeah.
And one judge had Triple G winning, but maybe one round. And that,
and therein lies the issue. I mean. And this one thing where judging's concerned, there's a lot going on in this sport now around judging and how
it's a mess here too.
It is, and I'm an MMA judge.
Yeah. It's a mess.
It's a mess.
But this is a difficult sport to judge.
100%.
It's much more difficult than boxing. But the integrity, when the integrity starts to waver and wobble, that's when people get annoyed because we all know that Canelo will. We know. I'm not suggesting for a second that there's any complete corruption. But I'm suggesting there might be a little because he's just signed a $600 million deal. When he fought Triple G the first time, he'd signed a $600 million deal with DAZN.
DAZN, yep.
To do that.
Yep.
Do you think he's going to lose?
Absolutely not. And listen, it's a business.
Yep.
Canelo always fights in Vegas. Mm-hmm. He brings a lot of money to this town. Yep. You know what I mean? It's just there's too many people involved that have a financial interest. And I'm not saying that was fixed. It would be naive to think when you put – 7, 8, 9 figures on the table, you know, it would be crazy to think that people aren't going to get involved for their own financial, you know, gain. So it is what it is. You know, I guess we should probably stop talking bad about another sport until we fix our own judging issues. You know
sure,
I mean?
Sure.
It's a mess here, too.
I don't know.
I mean, the problem is you have 50 different governing bodies. So for me, if you're not going to fix that, which it's very difficult to fix, I do understand that. But there's a couple of things that I think we could do to at least make the mistakes less. And one is open scoring. I'm not a huge fan of it, but, dude, if we're not going to get it right, at least tell the guys. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm for it. I like it.
Yeah. I don't like the fact that it takes the surprise away. I don't like that. But man, if we're not going to get it right, at least tell them they're losing.
And is there an argument going into the third or the fifth round? Knowing that you're ahead, that last round you are literally popping a jab out and keeping your distance and staying well away from it all.
Well, Invicta did it, and they found that the the stats were no different. Like, it was actually the opposite.
Right.
It was actually the opposite. If I remember, like, I need to do the research before I look like an idiot.
Yeah.
But the open scoring did the reverse effect of what it was like 2% difference, but right. did reverse effect what everybody's worried about, like people coasting, you know,
right.
like they were actually finishing more. So it was interesting.
And I suppose for every there's going to be a moment where you're going to go, listen, guys, it's 2-2.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of round are you going to have then?
Yeah.
So there is a positive.
But dude, if you tell me I'm down 0-2 as the opponent,
yeah.
I'm down 0-2.
Yeah.
I'm
balls to the wall.
Yeah. You can try to run all over, do whatever you got to do. I'm coming for you.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? I know I'm down.
Right.
This is not a matter of I need to win this round now. This is a matter of I need to finish you.
Yeah.
So that's what I think about it. But for me, the problem with the MMA judging is just the consistency of it. It's like last week, I'm sure you heard about this, they had a big meeting in Vegas where they talked about damage over control and this, like, hey man, you might want to tell the guy,
right,
you might want to tell the guys doing this.
Yeah.
And then they had one a year ago. It's like they don't tell the people. And then we go, there was fights literally that week that
a different state that doesn't
that,
do it.
That more damage was done. Well, even in Nevada, there was a fight on that UFC card. That meeting happened on Thursday. There was fights on Saturday. And they're saying, hey, we are valuing damage over control greatly. And then you go see a fight where at some point control takes place, you know, and then the control was – I thought the damage outweighed the control quite a bit, and it still didn't matter, you know.
Do you think more fighters or retired fighters should judge?
Yeah, absolutely. The problem is what a lot of times, at least in my – I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, so what the commission says there is you can't have any affiliation to any gym at all.
Right.
So, okay, so you're telling me, well, if they don't have an affiliation to the gym, then they probably haven't trained.
Right.
I would rather have a partially biased judge that knows what the hell he's talking about, you know. But also, I do think that this is a little. I go back and forth on this, but I think if you scored the fight as a whole, it would change things too. Now that opens up the floodgates for more favoritism and deception and all that stuff. But if people are trying to win rounds, and like, what, this is a perfect example. You see a fight where somebody gets 10-8ed or something like that, or just beat up in the first round, and then the next two rounds are close, really close, nothing really happens, but that the other person won those two rounds, you're like, dude, he obviously didn't win the fight.
Yeah,
didn't win the fight. Or like what happens right now is I tell my guys this, if you are at a split, if you're at two rounds that are split, even though you think you edged them out a little bit, I tell my guys right now, 9 times out of 10, they're going to split those rounds because the judge doesn't want to be held accountable for being biased.
Yeah.
So they're going to split those rounds. You get one, you get one. Even though one person may have edged those two rounds, you're splitting them. And then the third round goes to the person that, you know, takes it.
Yeah.
Just too many things, man. It's too many things going on.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got a lot of good stuff.
I'll talk all day.
We want to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, so we're going to send you some gear. We just picked up a new sponsor. It's called Right on Trek Foods, which Jimmy doesn't want to try. I think it's outstanding.
It's because it's healthy. My healthy days have gone.
I don't know if it's healthy as much as it's for people that are backpacking, so it's in a bag, and then you put it on a pan, and it's awesome
stuff. I want a bowl of chicken with
you. Send me some.
I will. We'll send you some of that. And we didn't pick yet, so we don't know. So we won't start the official thing till the next guest. But we'd like you also to pick a pair of odds. Don't let Julian see them.
Oh.
Pick a pair of Odd Sock official there, and then we'll also send you a box from them as well.
Awesome.
Great seeing you again. Great having you back on the show.
Thank you guys so much.
We'll be right back. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun. Check 1, 2, 3. Check 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. You're going to be starting here in a second with Carrot Top.
Huh?
No, he's here. I'm saying I'm just letting him know anything. I'll let you start.
Okay. He's a good dude. I'll keep it. Huh? That's fine. I mean, that's what it is.
Carrot Top got stolen from us, so it'll be a couple minutes. No, I'm talking to them back to station. Should be starting here in a second. So again, it'll be with Carrot Top. I'm Randy, friends with Bob Huco. Yeah, he talks about you often. All right, we are back coming to you live from Las Vegas. And sitting down with us right now is a guy who needs no introduction. Everybody knows.
Reba McEntire, yes.
Vegas legend. How are you, mate?
Carrot Top. I'm good. How are you? Yeah,
I'm very
good.
It's we're sitting here in the press area at the expo here at the Las Vegas Convention Center, and I saw the great man being interviewed and being pulled from pillar to post. So, first of all, thank you for taking the time to sit down and chat with us. The very first time I ever worked with you, I don't know if you remember this, but we did the blue ball Cirque du Soleil thing about 2017, 2018 with the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, yes.
And the bill
was
the Backstreet Boys, the Tenors of Rock, my show, and I think Red Foo and all these kind of stuff. It was the very first time that I'd ever seen you.
Yes, indeed.
Ever seen you work. And
what a lineup, right? Backstreet Boys, Carrot Top, you.
what a lineup. So listen, What brings you here?
I'm a fan. I'm trying to get more involved in knowing more of the fighters, but since UFC is in our backyard here, it's kind of like when the Golden Knights came to Vegas. I knew nothing about hockey, and then they moved here, and I started watching all the games and getting more involved in how the process of hockey and the game is such a great game.
Yeah.
And same with the UFC. It brings so many people to this town.
Absolutely.
And I know Dana real well. I know Joe Rogan real well. It's an exciting sport. It's fun. The very first one I went to was great. I was never been to one. So I'm sitting outside the chain fence, octagon. And this kid is just, I'm standing right on the fence, holding the fence. And this guy's getting the crap kicked out of him, right? His face is right against the fence. And I could literally touch him. And he's just, bang, the guy's banging, just hitting them as hard as he could. And I'm like, get up. He guy looks over and he's like, Carrot Top. And I was like, get up. He's like, Carrot Top. Like, help me. And it was so funny because he didn't see me. He was just getting beat. All of a sudden he just looks over and he's like, Carrot Top. I'm like, right, face to face. This is a poor kid.
Did it help him or did it hinder him?
Well, I think it helped him.
Amen.
It motivated him to get up because he was getting killed.
Let me ask you this as a fellow Floridian, and I know you've been out here a long time. How do you get used to the weather here?
Well, you don't. I mean, I don't think you do. I mean, it's kind of like the same thing. You don't get used to it here either. It's, of course, different. And it's a dry heat as opposed to the moisture, humidity heat there. But, it's hell for like three months of the year. You just got to deal with it. It's just hot. But it gets really – it's been getting more humid here. Because of naturally, when they're building out here, they're putting in grass and trees and all that, so it's becoming more moisture. Yeah.
So listen, obviously with the nature of you having your show, which is still rocking and rolling, out over at the Luxor, do you on Saturday night will you get chance? I don't know what time your show is on the Saturday night.
8 to 10.
Okay, so would you record the UFC and then kind of watch it back? And
oh yeah.
See how it goes.
Yeah.
It must be, I used to hate whenever we had a show. Because it would be 8 o'clock on a Saturday,
right.
And you can't get to watch the fights.
Yeah, yeah.
So you everything, figure out a way,
Yeah.
But
it's kind of like that with anything really. Because if we work, the hours a day, so I usually don't tell me.
Yeah, I know. But listen, do you have currently at present? Do you have a favorite fighter?
Well, we had Misha Tate came to our show. She's cute, so I think it's
she's one of my favorites too.
and she came to the show, and she was so. It's something weird about her because she walks in and she's this beautiful girl, soft spoken and really pretty. And then you're like, oh my god, that's the girl that was beating the crap out of the other. You know what I mean?
Fights for a living.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's pretty crazy, but there's so many fighters, and they're all so much. They're all so strong and bigger than the next guy, you know what I mean? Like in shape.
I'll tell you a funny story, and it just happens to be with that guy sitting right over there, Jens Palmer. Back in the day, MMA is just getting started, nobody knew, and a guy tried to pick a fight with him in a bar.
Oh, Jesus.
He's the WEC lightweight champion, and nobody knew who he was because he's just a little statured guy that will kick your butt.
Yeah.
He looks mean, though.
It's that terrible situation, especially like being a comedian. My dad's a comedian, and the thing that he hated more than anything else, and most comedians are exactly the same, is when people say, hey, I've got a joke for you.
Yeah, I got something funny. Hey, here's something funny. No, I don't.
In heaven. Oh, no. Like, seriously. But
no, I really don't. Yeah.
But listen, we just wanted to thank you.
We appreciate your time.
Yeah,
thanks for coming
me.
In. Please, please keep coming to these events. You're getting pulled all over the place with photographs and autographs. If you are in Las Vegas, please, please, please go to the Luxor and go and see this great man's show. You won't be disappointed. Thanks ever so much, pal.
Thanks so much.
I have seen your show a couple times.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
it. Thank
you.
I got to see it tonight. Damn.
That's Carrot Top.
All right, thanks,
right
guys.
Back.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah. Appreciate that. Love to see you.
Check.
Testing.
Yeah. You're good. Ooh, turn that down. Turn that down. Check one, two. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Check one. All right, when we come back, we will be with the legend, Jens Pulver, in 3, 2, 1. All right, we are back. And, you know, I normally don't get excited. You know, you've been around me a long time.
I know this.
And, you know, I've done radio rows. I've done 30-some radio rows at the Super Bowl. And, you know, we are fortunate enough to get a lot of people on.
Yeah.
Our next guest, I consider a very, very close friend. Hopefully he considers the same. It has been a long, long time. Jens Pulver. What up, buddy?
My friend, how you doing? Dude, I stand up hugging him right now. Of course you're my friend. You've always been my friend. I love and appreciate you from day one. How's everything going?
Everything is good. Let's just start with, you know, the atmosphere. You know, again, you and I go way back to almost the beginning, and we've always talked about, I know we're both old, but I'm still a whole lot older than you. You know, when, if, will it get, can it get? And it's close. It's almost there. Talk about just the experience so far.
I can't. This is amazing. People waiting in line. It would be. I remember going around to the malls and telling people, hey, we got a UFC around here. You know what I'm saying? I could be Little Evil in all the video games. And they're like, what's the UFC? They had no clue. You know what I'm saying? What is that? But to see it now, just how big it's literally, it's a lifestyle. And you knew it was going to get like this. You knew that this sport, and that's the one thing, the UFC and what they've done with their brand, it's the most incredible thing in the world. They're a monster. And it's just, you knew, especially when the Fertittas and Dana came into it, you knew sure. that they were going to take this to a level that, and it's just crazy because just when you think it can't get bigger, you get a Conor McGregor-esque type of fighter, and you get, a Rousey, and you get these fighters that take it to this super, super level, the Diaz brothers and stuff like that. It's like the sky's literally the limit. You don't know, especially all the way we got through COVID and all this, and how big they've gotten even from that.
I have to apologize. I should have started the show in the chat with you differently. How is the wife? How is the family?
They are beautiful. They are great.
I apologize.
Dear Golden, doesn't need to be that. But, and that was the one thing with my son. The other day I got to go to the UFC PI, and I brought him with me. And so this is really hitting home for me, and I'm trying to keep the tears back because everybody that knows me, the abuse, you know, how I grew up abused by my father. I wanted to turn that tide and become a better father than the one I had. I got to stand him underneath me, sitting there flexing, winning the world title. First ever to have my son stand underneath that 13-year, you know, this is 13 years later since he was born. And I got to show him, this is what your dad did, you know. And he did that to me earlier in junior high. He said, hey, I'm going to wrestle. He's like, what?
Wow.
He goes, I'm going to wrestle this show. I'm like, what? And I kept him away from all this because I'm afraid, like, I never wanted to be daddy. It's like, I'm an intense coach, but I was afraid that's daddy being an asshole if I get a little intense. So, again, with the abusive relationship I had with my father, I'm like, I don't want to do this. And he loves video games, so that's a whole other world beginning. But he said, I want to wrestle. Yeah. And I was like, oh, man, I pulled out this box. All this wrestling gear. I go, dude, I've been waiting for this for so long. And he's like, did you wrestle, Dad? I'm like, oh, watch this. Next thing we're watching wrestling matches. I'm crying like a baby. I called my manager, Brian Butler, from Sucker Punch, going, I can't believe he's watching me wrestle. I'm in tears. It was so then to be able to do this and have him stand underneath that where I was supposed to, it's surreal to be
Absolutely.
Here to be here at this moment.
If he said, I want to be a UFC fighter, or I want to be an MMA fighter, and I want to really like kind of emulate you. Do you know, and move into the sport. Is it something you would be completely happy with? And also, could you step aside and allow someone else to coach him and step and just be a father rather than being like you say, a fighting mentor? How would you feel about it? Or do you think no? I'm going to impart my wisdom on you, and I'm going to make you the fighter that I was, or even better.
It's awesome that you say that because that's right where I'm stuck now with wrestling.
Right.
And what we did do is he had a tournament that he did where they were going against the club kids and stuff where they wrestle all year round.
Yeah.
And he got pinned and pinned again. And he don't even wrestle for a month and a half. And because of COVID, I never even got to go to the junior high. I never got to see practice. But I stepped away.
Right.
And I was letting them coach him. And you know what I mean? And he got pinned by every one of them, but I could see it in his eyes. Yeah. It was just, he didn't cry. And I remember I looked him dead in the eye and I said, son, I go, I'm going to make you a promise. I was like, the way you feel right now, you give me a year. And you give me a year, I promise you, you'll never experience this again in your life, ever. I go, but I'm sitting here with you. I go, the way you're holding your chin up, the way you're keeping, I know it hurts. And that's what I was so afraid of, getting into wrestling and fighting that one-on-one. Yeah. It's only you out there. And, you know what I mean, you represent. But he just kind of chinned up. He kept it, and he went to the – he's now – he trains for all those kids, wow. All those club kids wrestle, yeah. And he's picking up every day. Yeah. And I do – I drill with him. I tell him, look, if this is something you want, you come get me. I won't say no. Yeah. But I'm not going to come upstairs, hey, let's go. It's time to start. It's just like what I would tell a fighter right now. You show up to the gym, I got you. But I'm not showing up to your house to convince you to go to the gym. If you want this, you'll be there, and I'll be sitting there, and I'll open my mouth, and I'll start coaching.
When did he realize, yes, you're dad, but you're Jens Pulver? MMA, UFC. You know, it's one thing when you walk in the door every night, it's dad. You know, it's dad. But when did it finally hit? You know, when he started in it?
It's happening now.
Really?
It's happening now. Like, people come up and take a picture, and he keeps going, do you know them? I go, no. I go, I don't. I go, they know me. They know Little Evil. He's like, you don't know them? I go, no, I don't know them. I go, their face might look familiar, but I've got no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's kind of getting That's into cool. it now. But he was such a gamer and stuff like that, like building PCs with him. And gaming is what I love. And he's so smart, like his mom. And it's like that. Now I've got my daughter, Hayden. She is the one. She's club hands, and I got to teach her how to fight. You know what I mean? So I'm in the whole process, but I am now 100% committed as being a secondary coach to my son to answer that question.
Right. Jens was always known, and we're going to talk about what he's doing now with the UFC. You know, he'd have training, and yeah, he'd get to training when he was done playing his games.
Right. Yes.
when he was done.
I'm the one who missed that fight when Matt Hughes was fighting Royce Gracie because I was grinding Grand Marshal in World of Warcraft. I had told them all.
He couldn't leave.
I told them all. I'm gonna. This is what I was gonna do. And I don't. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. I didn't realize the depth of this. But I got into that last month, and I'm up there at Marshall, then Field Marshal, and get to Grand Marshal. And you're running 24/7. I had it set up. I'm going till 4 o'clock in the morning, where it shifted. And at 9 o'clock, we're back at it. I got my team ready. Everybody's ready to go. I'm jumping up and down, and I got my team ready. I was running the Marshall League.
Yeah.
And Matt goes, hey. I was wondering if you wanted to come out to my fight. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
This is the infamous story. If you want to come out to my fight, it's like, now?
Yeah.
And this was last minute. So he didn't tell me ahead of time. And I'm like, it was Thursday. I'm like, but I don't flip over till Tuesday,
right.
4 o'clock. There's nothing I can do about the workout back then. It was a full week. I go, I don't flip till Monday, 4 o'clock. And I go, no way. Everything I had just done was for nothing. I get it to video game, but no. All this, I go, I've been sitting in my own field. Grinders trying to outgrind all these grinders and these farmers where you can pay gold and they'll grind you up. So I've got all these people just running these streams 24, these bots and stuff running against me. Like, nah, I got this group and I'm smashing everybody. I learned how to pug hunt. See how excited I get with game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so no can do. Can't do it. Luckily, he won the fights and everybody's like, damn, how addicted are you? I'm not addicted. Sorry. And I'm like, I'm not addicted. Is there an ending? I'm like, yes, 4 o'clock. Monday night or Tuesday morning, 4 o'clock, I'm done. And Pat's like, if I see you playing that video, Pat, if you see me playing that video game, I will throw me and the computer out the third-story window. I'm done. Like, I promise you, I'm done. They thought they was ready for an intervention. And I skipped that fight, but I was like, but needless to say, I got my Grand Marshal. And so I've always been a gamer. And but I had to walk away from it because back then, you're wasting your time playing video games. They didn't understand that there are voices on these headsets controlling these other controllers. They didn't understand the competition side of these things when I was doing TWO ladders and Call of Duty playing base assaults, capture the flag, right. Team deathmatch. They didn't get practice. What do you need to practice for? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. I get you. Half of what you just said, I have no idea. Because I don't
get tell.
I don't. I'm trying to go in, okay, what's that? Because
yep.
I've never owned a games console in my entire life. But that's it. I want to tell you something really kind of a... It's kind of funny. Today, a very good friend of mine and Randy's was moving out of Vegas to move his family down to Phoenix for work purposes. We forgot that we had this event today, so we are going to help him move. This particular person is the biggest MMA fan, and I'm talking for years and years and years. Pride, K1, literally any kind of combat sport, he's your guy. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were watching one of the fight nights, all the boys together, and one of our lads, I'm in a band, we have a show here in Vegas, and we're all sitting there, and one of the guys goes, who's got the coolest nickname in, like, the UFC? What's the coolest nickname you've ever heard from a fighter? And the guys, most of the guys are kind of new to the sport, but they go, ah, it's Tito. It's the Huntington Beach bad boy. Ah, it's the Iceman. Or it's just, and then now you talk about the killer gorilla with Jared Cannonier. And Johnny just sat in the corner. He went, and I can't actually say because this is family radio, but he basically just said, I said, screw you. He went, James Paulson. He said, there is no name that fits a fighter better than Lil Evil. He said, because when he used to get introduced, he said, the fury and the madness in your eyes, he said, was truly frightening to watch. And he said, the name with the fighter, when it was introduced, he said, there's no better one. And he literally said that a couple of weeks ago. So when he said that you've got you coming on, I was like, I can't wait to tell him that I met you today.
I love it.
And before we do this, I have to get a photograph and send it to him because he's currently moving furniture right now. And we're sitting at the UFC and having a great time. But I want to send that to him. That was amazing.
Like I've always done, and you know this, you know, I'll go in the locker rooms, you know, NFL-wise, whatever. I don't talk NFL with them. I talk MMA.
Yeah.
And then when you talk MMA, obviously you talk the UFC. You know, and it's, again, we talked about what it's become, and it's because of things like that. You know, he's a musician. He doesn't want to talk about his band.
Yeah.
He wants to talk MMA. Yeah. He wants to talk fistfights.
Musicians are very loose term, I will say.
Yeah.
Very loose.
A singer would you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A singer that wears a kilt.
But see, and that, I love it. Oh, the kilt. Skanks. Remember, I used to roll kilts for a while. But that was one thing that, it's like, I don't get tired of. That's, I can talk MMA all day. And because I'm tapping into this registry, right? I'm hitting these moments, and I get to kind of relive this. And I think about fighters now when I do this. Adrian Yanez has been my little, I love this kid, right? And like I said, I gave him the name Little Evil. If he wants it, it's his. And because I just love everything about him. And I'm sitting there talking to him and going, you know, to be able to pass on this knowledge, I tell them all, everybody's like, when are you going to get a gym? When are you going to coach? I'm like, what do you think I'm doing right now? Only I get to hit the pause, rewind, show this every now and then. Show us the belt, and I'm doing this, and I'm peeling them off. And, I mean, I'm in heaven on twitch.tv/UFC. I'm in heaven. I love it. Breaking down fights, having an analyst, having an opinion. People get to listen to me. I mean, it's giving me their time. And that's what I tell anybody. What they don't understand is, and I tell people how valuable you are, time. Money can't buy it. You always wish you had more. And the fact that you are in here giving me your time is so humbling. I will pause and talk to every one of you. And I get this all the time. Stop pausing the fight. I'm like, hey, and this is what makes a really good calling card. Fight Pass is you can lift your little butt on over there, pay the $9.99 for the monthly sub, and you can watch it upside down, backwards, finger in the air with surround sound. I don't care how you do it.
Yeah.
But when you in here, you got former UFC world champion James Colbert. Dang it, I'm going to pause, and I'm going to rap with everybody who's giving me their time. So skedaddle. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
Talk about for a minute all of our friends back in the day, you know, Miletich Fighting Systems, how tight you guys were, what it was like to come to the gym. And were you there when Marcus can't think of his Jones. When Marcus Jones came, I'm the one who sent Marcus Jones there.
He sent him up there. Yeah. He, like, to see such a big person freak out at such a little guy, I was blown away. I'm like, he's like, it's Jim. Remember how excited he was the first time we talked? And
Marcus Jones was
he's a massive man. I'm like, he's what?
Marcus Jones was a number one draft pick in the NFL with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Okay.
He's the one that always said he didn't like football. He was just good at it.
Yeah.
I had Matt's belt at training camp. And he saw the belt, and that's where it all started. And then he fought at UFC 100. He was on the Ultimate Fighter. And I kept telling Marcus, I'm like, there is no disrespect to go to another gym, because he trained with Rob Kahn, Hoist Gracie's first American black belt, and he thought it was disgraceful. And I'm like, Marcus, just go learn some more. Where do you want to go? I can send you to the number one place in the world.
Yeah.
And the story is he went there. He sat on the stoop. Pat shows up. He ended up in the hospital that night. Dehydration. You guys beat the
humidity,
crap out of him.
Humidity.
He was there the next day on the stoop waiting for them to come. But meeting Jens, it made his day.
I couldn't believe it. Just a mammoth of a man. Yeah. And he's looking at a little old me, and I'm like.
so talk about the team back in the day.
You know, and that was it was just a whole bunch of friends getting together, everything. We honestly said it all the time. The worst time was when they fought. The easiest time was when I fought, or when it was our time to fight, because everybody else got all worked up. Everybody else got all nervous. Everybody else had to freak out. And it's just time for me to go out there and shine and get everybody ready and fired up. So that was the biggest thing. And it's family. Back then, it was family. There wasn't this. They're my brothers. My brothers, my sisters. And it was a life. Literally a lifestyle. And we're all trying to to build something. But now you get to that point where it is. It's time to be greedy. It's time to go out there and build your brand because the money's there. Everything is there in the aspect that you got to make sure that you do that along the way. You have to take care of yourself, and then you can branch out. Again, be good to yourself so that you can give to everybody else. And that's what I love about my team. And I'll never forget the time that we had. They're all my brothers and sisters. I love them to death. I'll forever be thankful for the Militech fighting system and what it did. I still have never left Iowa. And ironically, one of the things I'm going to do, this, all right, fine, I'll say it. I never can keep secrets, but when my kids, and that's the other beautiful thing about being on twitch.tv/UFC is I get to stay home.
Yeah.
I get to stay home with my kids. The greatest gift in the world. I'm not missing this time with them. My son is 13. I've been there every day. My wife works at the hospital. You know, she's an ICU nurse, and she's got her own thing, but I get to be with my kids, and I still get to feel relevant, and I get to do this. So just being able to have all of that, and to see where it's going and how much it's built. I know you're laughing. I got to get hurried. So it's one of those things. Anyways, I'm just in heaven for all of it. To have that platform has just been, it's been unbelievable.
I don't keep a lot of memorabilia stuff, but I still have the Navy t-shirt, you know, that you gave me from back in the day, and, you know, all of your stuff. I still have one of those pink little evil Jens Pulver shirts.
He said pink.
it was great. All right, so real quickly, we're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for coming on the show. We're going to send you a care package from Odd Sock Official, some really cool socks. We got a contest. We're going to see. Yep. We're going to see which one you take. The three of us have a bet on it. And then we're also going to send you a box of Right on Trek food. It's for hikers and camping. But the food is so good that I eat it, and I'm not camping anywhere.
All right.
But I eat it in the house. It's outstanding. So which pair of socks are you going to take?
All right.
Because
all right.
We do have – So Jens is reaching over.
You're going to go down like that. Oh.
All three of us were wrong.
All three of us.
The Swedish fish chat. Got
to
do it.
And then we're going to send you a box from all three of those sponsors. As always, dude, I love you to death. It's great seeing you. Say hi to the family.
I will.
All right, we're going to hit a quick break. We'll be right back.